I heard.
Doing the what?
Toughest schedule in the country.
Well, what, have we heard that before? Okay, I don't know if noon is good morning, but let Craig get all set there. But great to have you here today. Appreciate you guys taking the time to come out on a Monday and check out the Panthers. You know, excited really to get this season underway. You know, it's been a long time. Our kids have worked their tail off since really January, and a ton of work goes into it. I think they're ready to hit a different color jersey. You know, we've had a great fall camp. I think it's probably one of the healthiest fall camps we've been involved in. You know, you got to continue to keep that going all the time. You know, we've tried to be smarter as coaches and you know, just try to get them to the game. I think that happens when you got a little bit older football team, which I think we do with the 19 seniors, you know, that you guys all had a chance to meet at senior day, the senior kickoff luncheon the other day. You know, Albany, you know, is a good football team. I know you guys won't ask many Albany questions, so I'm going to shoot you with them early. You know, 4-7 football team that, you know, beat Villanova, you know, last year, which, you know, is a good football team, as we know. And then they shut out New Hampshire, who, you know, perennially is a CAA playoff team. I mean, that's a playoff caliber team. So, I mean, you'd kind of, you know, talk about New Hampshire in the same terms you talk about Youngstown, you know, great, you know, 1AA football team. Obviously, Greg Catuso is a great football coach. Obviously, with his lineage and being around Greg, you know, Coach Wonstadt, you know he's a darn good coach. You know, they got 3 pit guys on that staff, so they'll come ready to go. I mean, with Nate Bynum and Jim Sweeney and Jared Holley, they are they'll come into Heinz Field ready to go. You know, they got a probably their strength is in their O-line, D-line. I think in any good football team, you're going to have a strong front group there. I think we talk about it all the time, but their entire offensive line is returning. Their D-line's got everybody returning, and they got 3 seniors on that group. I think a total of 8 seniors in their starting lineups. I think 4 on offense and 4 on defense. So, you know, Gattuso being a defensive guy, I think they're a top 10 total defense team. I think number 9 in the country last year. So they play good defense. So our offensive work will be right there in front of them. I think they've gotten good work in camp as far as, you know, going against our defense. So it's going to be a heck of a ball game. You know, our guys will be ready to come play. So with that, I'll leave it open for questions. I know you guys have a ton of them.
What do you know about your quarterback?
You know what? Great question, Jerry. You know, Vincent or Vinny Testaverde, as I like to refer to him. You know, I don't know if they call him Vinny or there's only one Vinny, but you know, he's a good quarterback. We've watched Texas Tech versus Texas back in 2014 when he, you know, played. I think play 32. He got in the game there, and you know, looks composed. You know, as a true freshman, I believe, a redshirt freshman 14, looks composed throwing the football. You know, really accurate quarterback. Obviously, left there, went to Miami for a couple years, and has landed at Albany. Again, played at some great quarterbacks at Texas Tech, behind some great quarterbacks at Texas Tech, and also at Miami. So just trying to find a home for him. And I think they got a, you know, the quarterback that can hurt you throwing the ball. And I'm sure being in a football family, he can, you know, make the checks. And I'm sure dad's taught him well in his youth. So, you know, good player. You know, not as tall as his dad, very mobile, and maybe not like his dad. And you know, good quarterback. So we'll find out Saturday. I mean, last year, you know, press conference, you had high hopes. I think, you know, you thought you had a quarterback in Max Brown, which I still think we did, you know, that had potential to be really good. You had a guy that had been out of it for a while, hadn't played a football game for over a year. So I think that always played into the whole thing. And so, I feel totally different with Kenny Pickett being with what he did at the end of the year last year, as you guys all know, and then with what he's done during spring ball. You know, it's like this. It's consistent. I mean, what you're going to see a consistent Kenny Pickett doing the little things right, not hurting you as a quarterback. You know, protecting the football. So I mean, it's totally different because you got a guy that's got experience. It's not going to be, you know, much rust there. Although he's still a freshman, I mean, you know, I should say he's, you know, should be a redshirt freshman. But he's still a young guy that hasn't played more than one game as far as starting. And so there's still going to be, you know, hiccups as far as, I believe. I know everybody thinks he's going to go out there and be Kenny perfect. That'd be in a perfect world, but nobody's perfect. And I don't want to, you know, make Kenny tight like that where he's got to play perfect. He's still a baby. So
you're not worried about putting too much pressure on his shoulders?
I know he likes pressure, but I still don't want to make him feel like he's got to be a perfect guy. He's not perfect, you know, and neither am I. So I just don't want him to think he has to go out and play a perfect game. He won't play a perfect game. No quarterback does. You know what? I mean, they got 14 PA kids, I think, on the roster. I got to be honest with you. I don't think I scheduled it. It might have been previous. I don't remember. I'm day by day. A lot of those games get kind of thrown at you, and you kind of say yes or no. And, you know, then I go back into my office and bury myself into some work there. There's only so many teams available. But you know what? When you look at all the pick connections they have, I think it ends up being a pretty colorful look. I mean, when you look at, you know, former Dave Wannstedt staff member coming back to Heinz Field and having Pittman on that staff, I think it's a neat story. They got a good football team, and you know, we could go to Louisiana and play some CAA team down there, or play one that's not too far away. I think, you know, just keeping in the Northeast region is a positive thing. We'll find out September 1st, I guess, right? I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, we got a new coordinator who's calling a game for his first time in maybe 14 years or whatever it's been. He's very intelligent in Randy Bates, very detailed in game planning. And then when you look at the personnel, we've got personnel. We've got, you know, we got some guys, but then you got to go out and show it on game day. It doesn't matter. You can have all the P you want as far as potential, but we got to go out and play like we're a good defense. And that's, you know, you can tell at the end of the year. It's hard. I mean, maybe we can tell after game one that, okay, they look pretty good. But then we're going to find out the next week, and then we'll find out the next week. And ultimately, you're measured by what you do in a 12-game season.
Do you feel like Jess is stuck in place in terms of their understanding or their physical readiness, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, physical readiness, you know, no question about it. Durability, no question about it. And then the intelligence part of it that, you know, I think they got a good understanding of what we're doing. But like anything, you walk out there and an offense gives you a scheme, offense gives you a formation or backfield set or something you haven't seen. How well can they, number one, communicate on the field? It all comes down to communication, because you can have one smart guy like Quentin Reginus in the middle, but if we don't all communicate together, you're going to have issues. And we see that in practice every day. It's something we continue to harp on, is communication. Now, I've never been through a perfect defense communication-wise, so we're always going to have a mistake here and there. It's going to happen. That's why offenses do what they do, whether it's a shift, a motion, a motion we haven't seen. But defensively, they're as prepared as they're going to be, you know, going into this opener. I feel good with, you know, what we do offensively, preparing. It's not like, you know, we're running a wing tee offense. I mean, we run a lot of multiple sets as far as personnel goes. We run a ton of formations. I think we ran 38 formations in our last scrimmage, not this past one, but 38 different formations. That's not including a backfield sets or shifts or motions. So we're very multiple what we do, which, again, if I'm a defense coordinator, that's what I want. I want someone to give me something different every day, not line up in one formation. So I think, formationally, we'll be prepared for anything they give us.
I noticed a lot of words on your depth chart, and I also noticed about a cornerback that they started 12 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Motley.
Well, I think I've told you since the beginning, you know, Motley's had a great camp. He really has. And, you know, there's competition out there, and there's some more guys. I mean, that could have gone or's really maybe down the line there. So, we'll see what it looks like. It comes down to who's playing well. If Felipe's playing well, we're gonna roll with him. It's who's really healthy and who's feeling good, who doesn't have a tight this or tight that, whatever it may be. So we're happy with Felipe is. And like I told you, coming out of camp, and, you know, we need gamers. We don't need just practice players. But I do say this, you play like you practice, and you practice like you play. So if Felipe does what he did in practice for the last 20 practices, we expect a great year. And, you know, we talk about our seniors all the time. They got to have the best year they ever had. If you want to win a championship, those guys that sit in those front rows in our team meeting have got to play well.
Do you have any idea when Casey or Mac might get his name on that sheet?
Is he missing from that sheet? Okay, put here. Put his name on that sheet for me. That's a, you know, probably just a typo. It's a problem you have when you got your, you know, when your depth is good. You know, you can put him at the X. I don't actually. You don't even know. It says receiver, receiver, receiver. So you don't even know. But he'll be at the X. You know, he's got the ability to play in the slot. You got to build. I mean, here's the thing about Taysier. He can play in the slot. He can play the boundary guy, which is where Kenny likes him, and he can play to the field. He can move all over the place intelligent wise. So, you know, put Mac on the depth chart. I just said put him on there. We'll see. I mean, come on, Jerry.
Some guys are in bold. Yeah, that's what I said.
Some guys are in bold?
Sure.
I don't read the bold.
Three guys are in bold.
I didn't think you could see that good.
I take my glasses off.
Yeah, does the defense have to have a set personality? Do you want it to have a certain type of player? I know you want to be ready for anything formationally, but in terms of an attitude, I mean, anything like that? I mean,
well, hopefully it all got an attitude. I think it's huge. I think anytime you have your coordinator is passionate and has energy, that it's going to play a part. Your kids are going to play like your coordinator, I think. So I think that'll be something you'll see Saturday, whether they play with a little different swag and energy. You know, you hope when the lights turn on and at 3:30, that's what you see. They got to be ready to go. You know, we've talked about it every time in here, and you know, maybe it's that 1-8 at the end of the 2-0. I don't know what it is, but you know, just you know, it's these seniors. It's the way they talk. It's the way they believe. You know, if they're talking it, you know, freely, and if they've said it, put it this way: when I first got here, these guys just wanted to win 6 or more games. Okay, that was the goal, and we had to change, you know, kind of how we thought. We talk about you know, goal setting, doing big things, dreaming big. And when I first got here, I was just trying to get them to say ACC, forget the championship part at the end. But our kids talk in those terms now, which is, you know, I think for every football team, you should have that goal. But we had to change a lot of mindsets when I first got here. People just kind of thought like 6 or more games, that's a great season. And, you know, we try to, you know, ingrain that into our kids' heads that that's just, you know, that's just average or below average. So, you know, you feel good because they believe. I'm not going to go out and take a snap. I'm not going to make a tackle, not going to make a catch. But these guys here, if they believe it, and I think we have the talent, I think we got the mindset, I think we got the chemistry to win a championship. Again, is that going to happen? We'll find out. I don't know. We'll find out. I mean, we're in the process of game planning right now, but, you know, this is a good football team. We're not holding anything back. So if you're asking that, at times we hold stuff back. I think most people know what we do. So we're going to go out and do it and find out how well we execute the offense. I mean, we've got some new wrinkles that you may not have seen before last year. You may not see those this year, but you'll certainly see them as we move on. Well, I mean, our kids have played big and played good in big games. So I think, obviously those wins help you. You know, when you end with a win, it made the offseason a little bit more, approachable for our kids, approachable for our coaches. But I think it helps you. I think when you got the ability to win a big game, and you got the ability to win every game, period. I mean, if you can beat a Miami and you can beat a Clemson, why shouldn't you win an ACC championship? You know, it's pretty simple. I think our kids understand that, and that probably plays in a part why, you know, they talk like they do.
You were talking about Kenny not needing to be perfect. You're not perfect. Does this team need to be perfect to get to where you want to get in terms of records?
Only if the other guys play perfect, okay, which probably won't happen. So if the other guys play perfect, then, you know, it's not going to be easy. But, you know, that's our job to make sure they don't. And it's our job as coaches to make sure we don't mess it up either. You know what, Rafael Lopes has been really, Rojo has really been, fantastic as far as a reliable punt returner. Let's start there. With reliability goes, we have possession of the ball. I think when you think about punt return and returning punts, the number one thing is that we have possession of the football after the end of that play. And it starts with that. And we can have more, maybe an electric guy back there. But, you know, Shockey's been back there. Paris Ford's been back there. We may, you know, get some different looks. It depends. But I just know right now, I think, you know, I don't know if there's any oars on there or not, Jerry. Quick to answer that one. Guy's got every oar examined. But, you know, we know we got faith and trust in what that guy's going to do in game time. So we'll see what the other guys do when they get up there. But, the return game's important. But I also would say this, maturity, having a lot of guys that can play special teams, because everybody thinks it's a one-man show back there at the return game. And we can go over tape of kick returns for touchdowns and punt returns for touchdown. It's hard to do it all by yourself. And if anybody thinks that Quadri did it all by himself, you know, all by himself is crazy. He's a great returner, but, you know, he's got help out of 10 other guys that are doing their job. And Coach Powell does a great job designing and organizing those return games. And we'll continue to do a good job. And I think we're going to be – forget the return guy. Let's talk about those other critical 10 guys on the field and you know, what are those guys doing? I think those guys are better right now. And that's so much more important than the return guy, to be honest with you. You know, Paris was going like this. He really was, and is, I should say. Paris is doing a nice job. He's an energetic guy. I can't wait to watch him on the field. And he's energetic. He plays with emotion, and I think the game is a game of emotion. I just got to make sure we keep him under control. He's wild. I love that part of him. Not really. I mean, I can't say there's one. I mean, you're looking forward to seeing the 22 guys out there and the 10 positional groups play. If I'm fired up to see one group, then we probably got problems at the other groups. I mean, they're so similar. I think, you know, I think I'm excited to see everybody go out there and play. And, you know, I think that's where it starts. I don't know if it puts any more pressure. I mean, we're going to take it week by week by week, and it's a one-game season. There's pressure whether you want to be an ACC champion or you want to win six games. Whatever your goals are, there's pressure to do that. I think when you got one of the toughest schedules in the country and you got a football team that wants to and has a desire to win a championship, there is no pressure because they believe they're there and they have the ability to do that. So, is it stress? Is it pressure? You know, our guys are ready to play ball.
Any final questions, Alan?
I'm assuming you saw some of the stuff on Twitter, and you know, Kellen is an unbelievable kid. And you know, really, kind of the setup was it? You know, the setup for that whole thing, which I don't know if it showed. On that video, was he does so much in the community service. Forget what kind of football player he is. He's such a volunteer in this community. We talk about making an impact in the city of Pittsburgh, making an impact on campus, putting a smile on people's faces. That's something he does. And, you know, every day when we finish practice, that guy's kneeling right there. I can put an X and save a spot for Kellen because I know he's going to be – when I blow that last horn, man, he's coming up. He's right there. So he's done so much community service-wise. The guy works his tail off in anything he does on the football field. So, I mean, he deserved that scholarship. You know, it started with what he did on the field. We're not going to give it because he does a great job in community service. But we just kind of set up giving it to him that way. Like I just said, hey, someone wants to volunteer, I need one guy. You don't have one. And he's sitting right there like he always is. And he said, Coach, I'll do it. And, that's kind of how we set up because I knew he volunteered like he always does. The guy will do anything. He'll come in here and mop these floors if we wanted to. That's the most impressive thing. And I thought maybe there'd be a little dip in maybe his swagger after Jimmy Madura got one. And, you know, but you guys kind of, blow it because you guys sit there and count scholarships. I don't know if it was Jerry counting scholarships. Maybe he's thinking, maybe there's one more left. Maybe there's one more left. You know, you kind of like him to not to know, if there's any left. But you thought maybe you'd see a dip in his performance in practice, but all you saw is a rise. I mean, that guy's, you know, I watched him especially to see how he was going to react to that, and he turned it up even higher, which is Kellen Mack alone. He is. He is. We introduced him last night. He's on his football team. We're happy to have Jeff. We're happy to have his family involved in the program. We're still waiting to find out whether he's eligible or not. I think there was some word out there saying he was eligible. He spent the last 20 practices in Ann Arbor, so he's really a transfer. So I don't know what's going to happen there. So he's ineligible right now, and. So we'll wait to find out, you know, what that status is for him. But, you know, just to give you some background on that, he had visited in the spring and was trying to decide between, you know, after he left Illinois as a grad transfer, between Michigan and Pitt. And, you know, I just feel like he got there and felt like, you know, maybe he made a mistake and decided to come here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I don't know. Let me know what I should do.
Thank you.